there are two stories, a couple of prakim apart, that seem to be unrelated. They seem to be not connected. And if you were just learning through the Tanakh, you wouldn't put the two stories together or think they have anything to do with each other. But Chazal show us they have very much to do with each other. One story is the story of the Pesel Micha. Micha was that baby that when the babies were being stuffed into the walls in Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu turned to Hashem and he said, how come you have a rush of, you have Tzadik V'ralo, you have these babies, they didn't do anything wrong and they're suffering, they're being shoved into the wall. So Hashem allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to take one baby out of the wall and see what would come out from that baby. That baby ended up being Micha. Micha followed Moshe Rabbeinu when he took the bones of Yosef out of the Nilus, and he saw that stone that Moshe Rabbeinu put into the water to raise up the bones with the shame of Hashem on it. He saved that stone, and with it he made Chet HaEgel. Micha was the one that when they came to Eretz Yisrael, so he, in his home, had a house of Avodah Zarah, where people would be crowded all the time, people coming from all different areas of Eretz Yisrael. As they're passing by, they would stop over in his house. He would feed them, give them a place to sleep, rest, shade, and he would also have them then serve Avodah Zarah in his home. There's another story, two prakim later, that talks about Pilegesh Begiva, where a couple of wild men from Shevet Binyamin raped a Pilegesh, somebody's Pilegesh, to the point that she was killed, she was murdered. And this was the first time that anything of this kind of tragedy, this horrendous type of thing that happened in Klai, so it was the first time for it ever to happen. And the husband of the Pilegesh decided that this is something that's worth making a big loud noise about. He cut her body up into 12 parts and sent it to all the different tribes that they should know, look at what terrible tragedy happened in Klai Yisrael. And Klai Yisrael decided to go to war against Shevet Binyamin for not handing over the group of men that did this to the Pilegesh. And they asked the Urim V'Tumim, who should go first to war? I think the answer was Shevet Yehuda. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu was behind the war. He gave it a full stamp of approval. They should go to battle. They should fight Shevet Binyamin. And yet you see that the outcome of the war is that tens of thousands of Jews died on both sides. Both on the sides that were fighting the right battle, that were fighting against Shevet Binyamin, and also on Shevet Binyamin's side. And the question begs to be answered, why is it that you've seen all the battles when Bnei Yisrael first came into Eretz Yisrael and they were attacking the different cities and taking over Eretz Yisrael, they were always successful. Unless they sinned, they were successful and without any casualties on their side. And suddenly they're fighting another legitimate battle, another legitimate war, where they had permission from Hashem and guidance from Hashem to go and do this battle. And all of a sudden, tens of thousands of Jews are dying. How did that happen and why did that happen? The Navi doesn't tell us. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin does tell us. The Gemara is talking about with the Mishnah lists those people that don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. We know all Jews have a chelek in Olam Haba, but there's some Jews that if you sin a certain amount, you do certain things wrong, one could lose their chelek in Olam Haba. And they list examples of some people in Jewish history that lost their chelek in Olam Haba. And surprisingly, the Gemara says, Micha is not on that list. You would think that somebody that had a house of Avodah Zarah worship with thousands of Jews, he was machti, that he caused them to sin and worship Avodah Zarah at the time of the Mishkan, during the days of the Mishkan, you would assume that he should have lost his chelek in Olam Haba, that he's the one that made Chet HaEgel work. He threw it into the gold and had the cow come out. You would expect that he should lose his chelek in Olam Haba, but the Gemara says that he didn't. And the Gemara says, why did he not lose his chelek in Olam Haba? And the answer is, since his house was opened, and he greeted people and served them and fed them, and he was such a tremendous Baal Chesed and helped so many people in that kind of way also. So after all of the punishment that he deserved, which was probably terrible punishment for a very long period of time for all the Avodah Zarah that he caused, but there still was reward waiting for him at the end of all of that. After his deal was all cleaned up, there was reward for the Achnasas Orchim waiting for him at the end of the day. So that's why he didn't lose his Chelek in Olam Haba. And then the Gemara says the answer to our question. Why, by Pilegesh Begiva, so many tens of thousands of Jews died in that battle? The Gemara says, V'aldavar zen ne'enshu anshe pilegesh begiva. Amalei makadosh baruch hu, b'kvodi lo mechitem, akvodo shabasa v'dam mechitem. Hashem said when he saw that the Jewish people went to battle against this man who raped and killed, when they went to battle and they went to war, Hashem said, on my honor you didn't protest, but on the honor of flesh and blood you did protest. On my honor, when the smoke going over Micha's house, when so many people were serving Avodah Zarah, it spread over the heavens and went all the way to the Mishkan and mixed with the smoke that was coming over the Mishkan for the Korbanos that were going to Hashem. The smoke from the Korbanos to Avodah Zarah was mixing with the smoke that was going from the Korbanos up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you saw that Chel Hashem, you didn't want to go to battle. Then you didn't protest. Now that you see that he did something that was against Basav Adam, he raped a lady, now you want to go to battle, now you want to go to war? And that's why tens of thousands of Jews died in that battle. Meaning, the battle was legitimate. It was a true and good and correct sensitivity to want to go to battle for such a thing. But if that's how you react when you're very upset about something, now we see that you weren't that upset when the smoke from Micha's house was mixing with the smoke over the Mishkan. Over my honor, you weren't protesting. That you didn't want to go to battle over and fight Micha. Now imagine you would ask the people of the time, why are you not fighting against Micha? Why are you going to battle against Micha? They probably would have said, he's such a nice guy. He does so much hachnasas orchim, which is actually true, and it's why he didn't lose his chelek in Olam Haba. In Shemayim, they also paskin that he deserves reward for that. But Hashem knew that that's not why you're going to battle, because when you're upset, you do go to battle. It's just because you're not that upset. So maybe you're giving the excuse, because he's so nice, he does orchim, but now we see it's because it doesn't bother you enough. And the way that you know if something really bothers you is not if you tell us that it bothers you, but we see how you react when something bothers you in one place, and now we check and we see if you act like that in another place. And if you don't, it's because over there it didn't really bother you. If you want to know what your values are, it's not just what you would write down or claim your values to be. It's what you live out your values to be, what you show your values to be. If a person says, oh, it's so hard for me to wake up in the morning, it's too hard, it's such a hard test. And all of a sudden we ask them, oh, could you spend the day with a really nice blind man, but it means you have to wake up at 10 to 7 in the morning. Yeah, for sure, I'm there, I'll do it. And somehow all of a sudden the alarms work on that day and you're able to pick up Lavi on time. So that shows you that for another person, for a human being, if it's chesed, I can feel good about myself, suddenly I can wake up and I can run right out. But for God? So, yes, you were saying you're tired and it's hard and it's difficult, but now we know really what it was coming from, because when you really want to do something and you're going to feel good about it, then all of a sudden you are able to get up and rush out of bed. Somebody could say, I can't sit for that long, 2 hours, 3 hours straight. There's no way I can't sit and concentrate like that. Fast forward 1 year later before a midterm, suddenly he's able to sit for 9 hours straight, barely eating anything, studying for the final or for a midterm coming up. No, it's not that we can't sit straight and study really hard for something. It's that is important. I got to get a good grade on that test, even though I can't stand this subject. But this is not as important to me. And that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us. He looks at all of our actions together, and they speak and reflect one on another. When you really want something, let's see how far you're ready to push and fight for it. And now the things that you don't do that for, it's because you didn't really want it or it wasn't really that important to you. And that's a way for us, that's how we have to judge ourselves. It's not enough the values that we have on paper, but it's the values that we express ourselves, that we show in the way that we live. And there's a famous story about Rav Shalom Shadron that he told over. He had a shul, and some of the people in the shul were complaining to him that he went to a certain demonstration against Chilul Shabbos in Yerushalayim. He said, why are you getting involved in these demonstrations? Leave them alone, it has nothing to do with you. You're not being Mechalel Shabbos. Don't go to the demonstration. He was quiet, he didn't respond to them. A few weeks later, they went to a demonstration because the city of Jerusalem raised taxes, that now people have to pay more taxes for living in the city of Yerushalayim. And then he got up in shul and he told the following story. He said, one day I was babysitting my grandchildren in the park, and another child, not one of my grandchildren, another child fell down and got a big cut, and they were bleeding and crying, so I picked up that kid, and I was running down the block to bring him to the doctor to be checked. And I was running frantically, worried, caring for this kid. And there was some old lady down the block looking out the window that definitely assumed that it was my grandchild that I was running with. And as she saw that I was running frantically, she said, don't worry, Hashem will help, it'll be okay, don't worry, relax. But I knew that I was carrying her grandson, and she just doesn't realize it yet. And I wondered to myself, what is she going to say when I get closer to her window and she realizes that this is her grandson that's bleeding over here? And sure enough, as I got closer, she started getting quieter, quieter, less calm, and suddenly screaming, America, America, America. She realized that it was her grandson, Mayor. And all of a sudden, she's frantic and she's worried. Quick, 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 get to the doctor. So when it's not your mayor, it's somebody else's mayor, you're less worried about it. But when it's your mayor, then you get all excited and you get frantic about it because that's your baby. That's what you take to heart. But said Roshan Chadron, Shabbos is my mayor. Taxes and your money, that's your mayor. When you get excited over something, when something is your child and it's your baby, Chil Shabbos is somebody hurting my baby, somebody hurting my child, and the love and the focus of my life. You're worried about your money, and for that, you go out to a demonstration. That doesn't move me so much. That's what I don't get as excited over things like that. There's a Reform rabbi once went to speak in a certain shtetl in Europe. He once had been from, went off the deck, became Reform or whatever, but they brought him this community. They were more open, and they decided they wanted to bring a Reform Jew to speak to the community. Now, it was Erev Pesach, and the rabbi of the community also was trying to raise money for the poor people to have enough food for the Seder. And the rabbi was getting up before the Reform rabbi was going to get to speak. And he was trying to tell people that we have so many poor people and we need to give money, we have to help them. And nobody was really giving enough. They weren't able to afford it, they said. They were raising their hands. Rabbi, we can. It's hard. It's expensive. It's tough for us. The Reform rabbi gets up. They're all excited at the edge of their seat. Ah! Open-minded person. See what he has to say. And he opens up and he tells them, he reads them the following pasuk from Ki Teitzei. It says, Lo yavo amoni umoavi bakal Hashem. Amon and Moab will never be able to convert and enter the Jewish people. Why? Al dvar shel lo kidmu etchem belechem ubamayim bederach betzeitchem in Mitzrayim v'asher sachar alecha et bilim ben ba'or mipator aram narayim lekal alecha. So there's two reasons why Amon and Moab aren't able to join the Jewish people. One is because when you were a nation of people lost in the desert without food and water, they didn't come out and greet you and try to bring you bread and water, and that's cruel. And because they paid and hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people and try to abolish them. So why do you need both of those reasons, asked the Reform rabbi. Why wasn't the first one enough? That they were so cruel, they didn't go and greet you with bread and water. Why do they have to continue and say, and because they hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people? But said the Reform rabbi, he said, you know why? Because they could have had the excuse, we didn't have enough money to support an entire nation of people. We didn't have money to bring them bread and water. Okay, fine. All of a sudden, you had tons of money when it came to paying Bilam to curse the Jewish people. So it's not that you don't have money. It's that wasn't important to you, and to curse the Jewish people was important to you. So for that, suddenly, you were able to find the amount of money. So said the Reform rabbi, you don't have money for the poor, you're right. But to get a Reform rabbi to come speak to you in an open-minded person, then all of a sudden you have money to pay for what I'm asking for. He actually had good muster. It turned against him. But you see then when something is really important to somebody, then all of a sudden they'll have money for that thing. It's not whether you have money or you don't have money, it's how important is it to you. If it's your own child, suddenly you're able to get money, whatever you could do just for your kid. When you really love somebody, you somehow have money to help that person. The Chafetz Chaim says, how you have to love Hashem with all of your money. One of the things he said is, adopt the Torah as one of your children. Let's say you have three kids, make believe you have four kids, and the Torah is the fourth one. You have five kids, make believe you have six kids. the amount of money you would spend on any one of your kids in life, give that amount of money also to Torah. And adopt the Torah too. Don't love it. Don't love the Torah any less than you would any of your own children. It's important for us to look at ourselves in this kind of a way, to understand where we're really holding and what's really important to us, and hold ourselves accountable in that kind of a way. It's also important for us to, when we're looking for who we want to marry and what community we want to live in, to also have those things in mind. It's not enough just what the girl tells us are her values. We have to see it also in the way that she lives her life, what she puts as a priority, what she doesn't put as a priority, what she's willing to fight for and spend money for, and what she's not. I remember there's one guy once called to complain to me. He said, you know, I don't understand. When I was going out with this girl, she spoke to me about how Torah is so important to her and money is secondary, and she's not looking to live such a high-class life. She just wants, you know, me to learn and things like that. And all of a sudden, we're engaged, and we're going around, you know, the store shooting things. You know what that is? You register for a store, and then you shoot the things that you want people to buy you. So go around shooting things, and she keeps on wanting all the most expensive things. What happened to this girl that was telling me on the date that money's and high class way of living is not important to her? The way that you learn a girl when you're dating her, when you're looking into her, is by the way she lives her life, the decisions that she's made, not at all by what she's telling you on the date. Baruch Hashem, Amir Hashem, oh, it's great you have a harusa, oh, it's great you daven, doesn't mean anything. You have to see what type of sacrifices she has made and is willing to make for herself within her own life. When you're looking for a community to live in, go to shul for a Shabbos or two. Look at the schedule and see what type of things do they talk about there. What type of shiurim do they provide? If all they somehow always manage to talk about is only current events and only these like hot topics and in the Jewish community now, but they don't manage to find time to have shiurim in Hilchos Shabbos or in Hilchos Kashrus or in Hilchos Nida or in Shalom Bayis or in Shmiras Halashon so then you see there's something disproportional going on over here. Somehow the entertaining topics, you know, are the ones that they're presenting and everybody's going to, but the actual meat and potatoes of keeping Torah and Mitzvos, I don't see that they're selling to the community in as consistent and as real of a way. And you want to raise your family in a community which puts keeping Torah and Mitzvos and Halacha at the forefront of your life. The other things are fun and interesting and nice and entertaining, maybe here and there for a Shalosh Shuras, but definitely you want to see a shul and a community where people are setting aside time to learn the halachos and learn real Torah. That was the smooth.